Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back to more NFL Sunday with Keith Fourier and Wiggy.
Broadcasting from our Best Yet studios. Best Yet. Shop your local grocer for the best quality and value.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEEI.
Best text of the day so far has been from the 508. This show's like the Patriots. No tight ends showed up. That's right. It's Keith and Kern here on NFL Sunday. Wiggy and Fourier are off today. But we do have a quarterback on the show, Tom, as we go to the Harbor One hotline right now. Former Patriots and Chiefs quarterback. And now with NBC Sports Boston, it's Matt Cassel. Matt, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Sunday, gentlemen. Happy Sunday.
Yes. Happy Sunday to you, my guy.
Before, Matt, we get to Brady's performance last night, Taylor Heinicke really ended up being the story. I think that was what most people were talking about. How can a guy go from the practice squad and just signing with the team last month and then putting on that kind of performance? What was your big takeaway watching him play?
Yeah, it was an incredible performance by him, obviously. He came out. And really, I didn't know what to expect, right? Because you're talking about a practice squad guy. You only seen a small little window of him at the end of the game a few weeks ago. But the way that he came out, performed, competed, you know, being down against that pass rush, Todd Bowles' defense, everything that he did was absolutely outstanding. And, you know, his athleticism spoke for itself. But it's a testament also to his hard work. Obviously, anytime you come into a new situation with a new system, new coordinator, everything else, and you're on practice squad, basically just giving them a show. It relies heavily on the player himself, especially in the world of virtual learning and everything that they're doing now because of the environment with COVID, particularly with the practice squad guys, that it's just his hard work, his dedication to learning, and he's obviously a smart kid. He played a lot at Old Dominion. He had a successful career there. But, I mean, to see it transition the way that it did, that's why it's the big story today, right? And it's because he played the way he did. It was incredible.
How many guys are there that are out there like that, just hanging out on somebody's roster who might not fit the suit, who might not have gone to a Division I program that is FBS program, that if given the opportunity, like Matt Cassel, did not play in college, Gardner Minshew, you know, all of these players who could be on different rosters. Meanwhile, there's guys who went to bigger programs, i.e. Jarrett Stidham, who have not performed when the lights went on. Are the woods just full of guys like these who can play like that?
I don't know. You know, Tom, it's a great question. But the fact of the matter is, look, there's 32 guys in the world that get an opportunity every Sunday during season to go out there and play. So there's 32 guys, and then behind them there's backups. And then if you're lucky enough to have an opportunity to make a roster, get on a practice squad, prove your worth, and then have it all fall into place like Taylor Heinicke did, where, you know, he had to have Dwayne Haskins get cut. He had to have Alex Smith have an injury. And then all of a sudden they were at their last resort here, but then he stepped up and took advantage of his opportunity, which I think that, as a football fan, as a guy that's been through it myself, like, if Tom doesn't get hurt in that year that I played in 2008, I'm not on the field, right? I'm not ever going to see the field. I'll probably the next year go into free agency and they'll bring the next young guy up and start developing him. But I got an opportunity. And when you're able to take advantage of that opportunity and to have the composure that he did, considering the circumstances in a playoff game against Tom Brady, I mean, he's made himself, you know, hopefully giving himself another opportunity to go, either whether it's with Washington or somewhere else, at least be in the league for a while, you know.
You know, and as for Tom Brady, Kern and I were talking about this earlier, but it seems like the Bucs all season, and even again in last night's game, they'll have drives where they look unstoppable, and then they'll go out there and have a three and out. And I know they're not going to score a touchdown every time, but not only is it a three and out, but you have guys either running into each other or running the same route, or Brady's yelling at a receiver or whatever else it is. What's your assessment now that they've played 17 games of Tom Brady and the Bucs offense?
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting because they scored 31 points last night, right, against the number two ranked defense in the league, particularly against the pass, right, and that pass rush and everything else. And, of course, we as spectators with all the firepower that they have, right, expect them to go out in every series, just be crisp and on it. But that's not the reality of NFL football. The reality is, look, there's going to be ebbs and flows every game. And they start out slow, right? They start out with a field goal, but then they go punt, but then they go touchdown, touchdown, field goal. And then they get into a segment where they go punt, punt, fumble. Then they go right back in the fourth quarter, and they answered every time the Washington went down. I think three of the four times that Washington scored, then they went down and scored, and they went field goal, touchdown, field goal. So they put 31 points up against a really good defense, and we're sitting here going, why do they have some struggles every now and then? Look, these are all good teams in the playoffs, but I agree with you. Throughout the season, there's been some inconsistencies, particularly when you look at them, you know, in the New Orleans games really stood out to everybody, right? They couldn't get the run game going. They were stuck in the pass game and stuff like that. But this team's an explosive team, and they're going to put up some points now. And then the defense is the one that's always, to me, very interesting in terms of the Tampa Bay defense, because they're littered with good players. And I know that they've had some COVID issues and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it seems like that secondary is one that would give me cause for concern, right? Because I think their front seven's outstanding. They produce pressure. They're good against the run. But that in terms of the back end, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's the pressure combinations and all that stuff, but they've struggled on the back end to be consistent enough to where they can stop people in the pass game.
What did you learn from the Bills-Colts game about Josh Allen yesterday in terms of how much he's changed from the maniac who was on the field last year against Houston?
Yeah, you know what? It's amazing to see his progress. And we talked about it throughout the course of the season. We all did, obviously, being in that division, talking about the Patriots, the Bills, where they stand, where the Patriots are at. But, I mean, he was outstanding yesterday. I thought that there was some plays where you go, I mean, other than really the fumble, he looked like the MVP candidate that we talked about. The play down, the touchdown pass early where it was a designed run, and the guy flashed to him late, and he tossed it to him for a touchdown. That was a huge play in the game. Otherwise, they're stuffed on that play. Then the throw down to Diggs on the go route. I mean, just a perfect ball. He understood his matchup. He looked the safety off, pumped him one way, knew where his matchup was, went to it. So it's about also understanding the system, how he's manipulating the defense. He knew that the Colts were going to come out. They're primarily his own team. You can see it throughout the day. When I say manipulate the defense, I say move defenders, right? You got to move guys out of their zones and get them to think you're going somewhere else. And you could see he had great eye discipline. He moved in the pocket well. He was able to be a runner. The one thing that I'll say about his big butt, he's got to learn how to get down.
Yeah, because he takes some hits.
Man, does that kid take some hits, but he's tough as nails. So, I mean, I'm so impressed with him, and that's the performance that they expected and needed out of him, because that was a good Colts team. You know, they were good on defense. They're good on all three phases, to be honest with you. And you could even see it late. You're sitting there in their chair going, don't tell me the Colts are going to go down and score right now and just completely ruin the Bills season, which I know that a lot of people in New England wouldn't care about anyway.
Right.
So.
Right.
It's true. Matt Cassel joins us on the Harbor One Hotline, and the decision by Frank Reich to go for two in the fourth quarter got a lot of people going. Again, Kern and I talked about it. I don't think it was the worst call, but I'm curious, player's perspective, you're down 14, early fourth quarter, you just score a touchdown, and the coach says, all right, let's go out there and go for two. What would your reaction have been to that?
I mean, at the time, right, when you're on the field and you're sitting there, and look, you can go through the analytics, but you don't have time, right? The coach is sitting there going, we're going for two. They've already discussed it in their headset, and whoever the powers that be have come together and said, okay, we've got a play that we want to go for two on. So you got to huddle the guys up, call the play, get to the line of scrimmage, and hopefully you get there long enough to maybe give a double cadence, get an idea what they're doing, and then call your play, you know. And you don't second guess it at the time. Now, when you come off and you think about the situation, and go, why didn't we just kick the field goal, right?
Right.
But They're going, come on, kick the field goal, coach. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like our it's not our position to be out there and be like, no. Let's go for one. Let's go. Yeah. You know, they're going two. So you just run the play. I mean, the other part of it is the missed field goal, right? And they missed the field goal late in the game, and then I think it was in the third quarter, wasn't it? They missed the field goal.
Yes.
From 33 yarder. Yeah.
33-yard chip shot, right? We missed that. And then the other part of it was they went for it on fourth down, on fourth and I think it was fourth and five or fourth and six in the low red, and they got stopped on that play as well. So there was a number of opportunities in that game for the Colts to take advantage. But, again, those are the pivotal parts of the game that we talk about always, situational football. If you're not – if you don't perform in those type of situations or make the right call, they're the difference maker, especially in these tight games.
Matt, first game today is, I think, the best game, Ravens-Titans. Which team do you give the edge to in this one? Because I just think it's going to be fascinating. And there's way more pressure on any quarterback today with Lamar Jackson than anyone else.
There's no doubt. I mean, everybody's going to be focused on him on this game because, look, Lamar Jackson, I mean, he's got a 4-to-1 touchdown ratio over his career, right? He's the first quarterback in his first three seasons to have 30 wins or more. First quarterback in NFL history, right? The guy's been phenomenal during the regular season. Now he's 0-2 in the playoffs. He's got 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Everybody's looking for him. This is the next step for him, right? This is the next step to take his team, go win a playoff game, and silence all the critics and do all that. And they've got the team to do it. Now, the thing about the Baltimore Ravens versus Tennessee Titans, I love the Tennessee Titans offense. I love what they do with Derrick Henry. I love how Tannehill's playing right now. They've got Corey Davis, A.J. Brown. They've got Jonnu Smith. They've got a ton of weapons there, and they can produce points. However, the big X factor for me is they don't have a defense, right? They're close to last in the league in all major statistical categories, including they don't create sacks, they don't create pressure on the quarterback, they don't stop the run tremendously well, they're last in third down. I mean, they're just all around, and I think part of it is because, you know, you bring in a guy like Vic Beasley, who you think is going to be a rusher, and they cut him midway through the year. Clowney goes on IR. They've had a ton of injuries in the secondary. The biggest part for this team today is going to be slowing down, obviously, this run game and try to start and get out to a quick start and score some points early because, again, we all know the struggles that the Baltimore Ravens have had throughout the years of just coming from behind, particularly when they're down at halftime. So that's going to be a big, important part of this thing. But in terms of just overall, I mean, you can look at the Baltimore defense and go, they're more well-rounded, obviously, in so many different statistical categories and from a personnel standpoint than the Tennessee Titans defense is.
When you played with Vrabel, did you think that after he retired, he'd become a head coach?
100% I did. We always actually used to call him Coach Vrabel. I mean, that was his nickname. I mean, because that was his personality. That's how he approached the game. He was always very intuitive, and all at the same time, he was big in technique, scheme, and you could already even tell with the younger guys when we got traded together to Kansas City. Mm-hmm. That was the tail end of his career, his last 2 years, and you could already tell the way that he interacted with the younger guys and talking about technique and how to attack a certain pass rusher and little keys that he could. And you knew that he wanted to do that, too, through discussion. I mean, I even remember going out to his son's Pop Warner practice. He had me come out one day, and he's screaming at these kids about, like, gap control, setting the edge. And Pop Warner, and I'm sitting there going, these kids have no idea. Yeah, they have no idea what you're talking about right now. What the hell are you talking about? It was great.
All right, he's Matt Castle, NBC Sports Boston, of course, former Patriots, Chiefs, Titans quarterback. Matt, thanks so much for the time today, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, bud.
You got it, boys.
Take care, man.
Fire it up. Enjoy it.
All right.
Absolutely. 3 more games today. Thanks so much for Matt. Yeah, he obviously with Vrabel here and in Kansas City, which is interesting, too, because, you know, Vrabel going to a new spot and then just – I could just assume – Tom, that he'd be one of those guys that not only fits in right away, but is just a leader in the locker room, like, immediately.
Yeah, and I think that is one of the things that absolutely stands out. And you know what? Right now, my headphones are screwed up, so I unplugged them for a second, thinking we were going to break, and I didn't hear anything you said, so now I'm actually filibustering.
No problem. It was about Vrabel.
Oh, yeah. I thought so, but I didn't want to get myself stuck. I didn't know we talked about Castle, so I was out there on a raft, and yeah, he...
No, you nailed it.
To me, what was really cool about him, too, was when he was with the Patriots. You know, you're there, you're in the locker room for a long time, and I remember a practice squad player. Can't even remember who it was, but...
Taylor Heineke.
No, not him. It was before that. Vrabel walking over to him and just walking up, shaking his hand. I'm Mike Vrabel. I'm one of your PA reps. If you need anything at all, let me know.
Yeah.
And it just...
Little things like that.
Yeah. High caliber leader.
Uh-huh. Pretty good. You can join the program here at 617-779-7937. It is a wild card weekend edition of NFL Sunday, and it's brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.